please open your Bibles this morning to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, and in your Scofield Bible, page 1201. We'll be reading verses 21 through 28. And these verses we'll read responsively once more. Romans chapter 8, verses 21 through 28, page 1201 in your Scofield Bible. Let's stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Let's pray. And Father, we're thankful for the opportunity once again to be here at the First Baptist Church and to be in this great auditorium. And Father, we're thankful for the faithful who come. We're thankful for those who visit with us. We're thankful for thy presence with us especially. And we thank you for giving us a man of God who will give us thy word and will give us something that will be helpful. And so it's extremely important that we hear the preaching of the word, and we pray that you give us hearts to do so and minds that are alert. In Jesus' name, amen.
Two people have cancer, maybe even the same type cancer. One has cancer in vain, and the other doesn't. I was speaking this morning on the subject, wasted suffering. Wasted suffering. Two people lose a loved one. Two women lose husbands by death. One is wasted, the other is not. Two people have a child, an adult child maybe, or a teenage child who breaks their heart. And may I say to you again, to young couples, don't be too hard on the older people. It's so easy to teach how to rear children when your kids are 3 or 4 or 5 years old. But I want to say that two couples have an adult child who break their heart. Their hearts. One couple's suffering is wasted. The other is not. Two young ladies will have illegitimate children. And one of the heartache, that illegitimate child, is wasted. The other is not. Two women come to college with their husbands. They live in undesirable circumstances. Do not see their husbands near as much as they'd like to. One suffering in loneliness and heartache is wasted, and the other is not. I want to talk to you a while this morning on the subject, wasted suffering, or don't suffer for nothing. Don't suffer for nothing. Our Heavenly Father, I pray you to help me this morning to be a blessing to these people for whom I've lived and whom I've served for over a third of a century. Over 37 years, I've stood behind this same piece of wood and tried to encourage, comfort, strengthen, and challenge. Yes, and sometimes scold. May this morning I be a blessing to them, please, in a special way. Amen.
In Romans 8:28, we have one of the most famous of all the verses in the Bible. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, those who are called according to His purpose. I'm going to come as near this morning as you've ever heard to teaching you the main meaning, the true, turn me up just a tad, please, but not too loud, the main meaning of Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. First, let me explain what it does not mean. We know that all things work together for good. What it does not mean. Number one, it does not mean that that all things work together for good. It does not mean that. I hear people say who are not even Christians, and some who don't even come to church when they have heartaches. Well, everything works together for good. That's not true. All things do not work together for good. What does it not mean? Secondly, it does not mean that all things work together for good for Christians. It does not mean that. Well, somebody says, you're a Christian, all things work together for good. No, it does not mean that at all. What does it not mean? It does not mean that all things work together for good. It does not mean that all things work together for good for Christians. Number three, it does not mean that all things work together, get this now, it does not mean that all things work together for the good of the one who loves God and is called according to His purpose. It doesn't mean that, listen to me now, it doesn't mean if you love God and are called according to His purpose that all things work together for good for you. It means that all things will work together for good. It may be the good of somebody else. Let me give an illustration. Here's a deacon in the Bible who's preaching. His name is Stephen. Stephen is stoned to death. While Stephen's being stoned, I don't see anything good for Stephen about that. Stephen is dying. I don't see anything very happy about that. What didn't work together for good for Stephen? But there was a young man there holding the coats of those who were trying to hurt Stephen and kill Stephen, whose name was Saul of Tarsus. And Saul of Tarsus saw the way Stephen died, and it pricked his heart, and he never forgot the way Stephen died. And Saul of Tarsus became the great preacher who brought the gospel to the Western world, and the greatest preacher who ever lived, and the greatest missionary ever lived. All things worked together for good for Saul of Tarsus to Stephen, because Stephen loved God and was called according to his purpose. It does not necessarily mean that all things work together for good to the person who loves God. Now, don't misunderstand me. Stephen didn't have it real bad because he went to heaven right away. But as far as his life on earth was concerned, all things did not work together for good for Stephen. I'll get to a minute what it is. Number four, it does not say that all things work together for good. It does not say that all things work together for good for Christians. It does not say that all things work together for good to the one who loves God and is called according to his purpose. And number four, it does not say that all things work together for good now for the one that loves God and is called according to his purpose. It does not say that that good that comes from your suffering will be in your lifetime. It does not say it'll be now. It does not say it'll be later. It does not say how long later. It does not say when. It simply says that all things work together for good if you love God and if you're called according to God's purpose. Now, that's what it does not say. Don't leave me now. It does not say that all things work together for good. It does not say that all things work together for good for Christians. It does not say that all things work together for the good of the one who loves God and is called according to his purpose. It does not say all things work together for good now for the one that loves God who's called according to his purpose. Now, what does it mean? All things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Now, what does it mean? Number one, for a person who does not love God, his suffering is in vain. What a sad thing to have cancer for nothing. What a sad thing to lose a loved one for nothing. What a sad thing to have a heartbreak for nothing. What a tragedy to go through a sadness or a sorrow or a bereavement for nothing. I said, if you are not a Christian, you suffer in vain. If you are a Christian who does not love God, and that word love is the deep word agape, if you do not love God and if you do not live in the will of God, then it means that your suffering is in vain. I said, number one, what does it mean, a person who does not love God, his suffering is in vain? Number two, for a person who loves God, God takes that suffering and uses it somewhere for the good of somebody. You may not understand it. You may not ever see it. But if Jack Scott does good, now I'm using this illustration because he never does. But if he ever does good, his wife does good a lot. But if Jack Scott ever does good, God's going to take that good that Jack Scott does. And I'm talking about suffering. If he loves God and is in the will of God and suffers, God's going to take that suffering and somewhere, sometime, someplace, God is going to use it for good. You say, Brother House, that doesn't sound very good to me if God doesn't use it for my good. Somebody ought to teach you the word unselfishness. Somebody ought to teach you the word of living for somebody else. It says that God, for a person who loves God, God takes it and uses his suffering somewhere for the good to somebody. Number three, get this now. God puts the suffering of a person who loves him and is in his will, he puts that into his apothecary or drugstore and puts it on the shelf somewhere. And someday, somewhere, God will take that bottle of suffering that you've endured and God will use it for the good of somebody somewhere. Let's take a plant that's cut down. That plant is alive. It's cut down, and from that plant you have herbs or medicine or something. And that plant dies. It may be that the medicine that comes from that plant, somebody will take tomorrow. It may be the medicine that comes from that plant, somebody will take that medicine 10 years from now. But it means that somewhere, sometime, the death of that plant is going to be used for the good of somebody. Now, let me give you a statement. In other words, Romans 8:28 assures that not one ache or pain or sorrow or heartache will ever be wasted to him who loves God and is called according to his purpose. Now, if I suffer or have a heartache, it's not as hard for me to suffer if I stop and realize someday this is going to help somebody. It may help my wife. It may help my daughters. It may help my son. It may help my church. It may help my staff. It may help somebody else. I don't even know. But thank God, if I suffer and if I love him and if I'm in his will, that means I cannot waste my suffering. My suffering cannot be wasted. I'll never suffer in vain. For God said, if I love him and if I'm in his will, he'll take my suffering and he'll put it in his apothecary, and somewhere, sometime, somebody is going to need good for my suffering, and God will use my suffering to somebody's good somewhere. You say, what good is that going to do if I'm dead? Can you imagine you're up in heaven, walking on golden streets and through gates of pearl and having a spell, praising God and fellowshipping with the angels and having Paul teach you Romans, having Daniel teach you the 70 weeks of Daniel's prophecy? And can you imagine up in heaven having a wonderful time and a shouting spell? And you look down and you say, that heartache that I went through 35 years ago, God's using it right now to bless somebody for somebody's good. Well, praise the Lord, wasn't worthless after all. But those of you that do not love God, and I'm not talking about a fondness for God, I'm talking about the word agape, which is a deep, abiding, sincere, heartfelt, godly love for God. And if you are in his will, thank God every tear I shed will be used sometime, somewhere, for the good of somebody. Every hurt that I feel, every heartache that I feel will be used somewhere, sometime, for the good of somebody. That means that no tear is ever wasted, and no pain is ever wasted, and no sorrow is ever wasted, and no grief is ever wasted, and no bereavement is ever wasted, and no heartbreak is ever wasted. What a shame! What a shame to sit there in a rest home for nothing. You could love God and do his will and sit there, and God would use the suffering in that rest home someday for somebody's good. What a shame to go through a heartbreak. What a shame for a lady whose husband leaves her and she has to rear children by herself. What a shame to waste those lonely years. What a shame to waste those sacrificial years. those years of loneliness and heartbreak and sorrow. Bless God, love Him with all your heart, get in His will, do His will, and God will take those lonely years someday, and somewhere, sometime, He'll do somebody some good with your suffering. Two people in a rest home, they suffer exactly the same. They're in adjacent rooms. They eat the same food, have the same circumstances. One suffers in vain, and the other suffers, and God used it someday, somewhere, for somebody's good. Two women, as I said a while ago, are left to rear their children alone. They sit in the room this morning, same room. They have the same heartache, have the same burdens, get up at the same time, early, fix breakfast, go to work, have to be a mother and father. And yet one loves God with all of her heart, and she wants to do God's will. And God said, I'll take that suffering, and I'll put it in my apothecary. I'll store it in my freezer, if you please. I'll put it in my pantry, and one day somebody's going to need it. And bless God, lady, you can rest assured somewhere, sometime, your suffering will be used for the good of somebody. And yet, in the same room this morning, there's somebody that's complaining because of your circumstances. Somebody who's upset. God didn't treat me right. It's not fair. Other ladies have husbands. You don't serve God. Never do a thing for God. Never teach a Sunday school class. Never build a bus route. Never serve God in any capacity. And you don't love Him with all your heart. You don't care about His will. And you're sitting there alone in your loneliness with those little children, without a husband and without a future. And you're sitting there for nothing. As far as I'm concerned, I want God to use my suffering someday. Here are two people have the same illness. Very same illness. One person loves God with all of his heart, all of her heart. The other person doesn't. One person wants to serve God. One person, when she's ill or he's ill, decides, I'm going to keep on serving God. Mr. Paulson was back to work teaching his class this week. Found he had cancer of the liver and pancreas. I asked Dr. Evans one day, I said, Dr. Evans, where is the pancreas? He said, somewhere in the South Pacific, I think, is where they are. Sad thing about it, he was serious. But there's Dr. Paulson. A few days after, doctor walks in and says, you have cancer of the liver and cancer of the pancreas, and Dr. Paulson goes back and teaches a Sunday school class where somebody sits at home and languishes, and Dr. Paulson's doing the will of God. He's still doing the will of God. He's teaching. Mrs. Evans back there has cancer, and some doctors say she has less than a year to live. She still teaches her class. On the other hand, there's some that live in self-pity and don't love God and don't keep doing the will. You mark my word, ladies and gentlemen, God's going to take the suffering of Mr. Paulson, and God's going to use that suffering again and again and again and again. All things work together for good somewhere, sometime, for everybody that loves God and does His will. Here too, college wives live in the same apartment complex. Husbands work in the same place. Spend the same amount of time with their husbands. Have equal loneliness. But one loves God with all of her heart. And one says, she says, I'm going to serve God. I'll get me a Sunday school class. I'll get work on a bus route. I'll do something for God. No better than that. I'll be the best wife I can be for my husband. And he'll not hear me complain. He'll not hear me fuss. I'll serve God. I love Him. I'll do God's will. And God takes that little suffering and that loneliness and puts it in His apothecary or in His cabinet and stores it. And somewhere, sometime, God's going to pull it out and use it for somebody's good. But here's the little hussy. Little Jezebel Jr. She gripes. Complains. I want to go home to Mama. Boy, if I was him, I'd say, I'll buy the ticket for you. Mama doesn't want you anymore than he does. I want to go home to Mama. I'm lonely. And you sit there in that little apartment. Now listen to me carefully. You sit there in a little apartment and you suffer. But you're suffering in vain. Look, folks, we all have to suffer. I've seen my share of heartache. You've seen yours. Little gal here on the front row has seen her share of the heartache. And you other ladies have seen your share of the heartache. But bless God, there's a way that whatever heartache you have, it can do somebody some good somewhere, someday. Let me give you three or two thoughts. One, God will take your past suffering and make it useful if you begin to love Him. Illustration. A young boy in Ohio was on a baseball team, went out and played a baseball game one night, went home and was suddenly taken ill. He had a very, very unusual disease. He had to spend a long time in an iron lung. He was not saved. He had all kinds of diseases that incapacitated him and twisted his arm and paralyzed him for a while and left him almost lifeless, much of his body lifeless. He became a truck driver. Now, he was in that iron lung for years, I think. Became a truck driver. One day, a couple of soul winners went by his house. An adult truck driver won him to Christ. He's now an evangelist. Member of our church named Marty Watts. Now, if you love God with all your heart, God will sometimes go back and take your past suffering. Now, Monty Watts' past suffering is being used for somebody's good. Yay, I preached with him this last week. He's one of the finest preachers I know. Here's a guy that I think 40% of his body, nerves in his body are dead. Brother Colston, all of his nerves in his body are dead. But here's a guy, his hand is twisted like that. But here's a guy whose past suffering has been used for God. Now look, folks, we got to suffer. I don't care who you are, you're in the choir, you got some suffering, you got some heartache, you got some burdens. Now, you got a choice. You can suffer for something or suffer for nothing. And the same is true with you. I don't know what your heartache is. Maybe it's a child that has a disease. Maybe it's a husband that's not saved. Maybe it's a marriage that's been destroyed. Maybe it's a disease in your body that's incurable. Maybe it's a terminal disease that the doctors say you can't overcome. Maybe it's your wife or husband has a terminal disease. Maybe you have a daughter who got pregnant before she married. Or a child who's broken your heart. Or loneliness. I don't know what it is, but everybody in this room is going to have to or already has suffered. But hallelujah, you don't have to suffer in vain. What a pity to sit there in your life without and suffer for nothing. Get up and love God. Get up and do the will of God. And God will take that suffering and someday He'll use it for somebody's good. Boy, that's good. I like to go back to Dallas occasionally. I used to do carpenter work. I built little matchbox houses. I used to be a carpenter, laid oak floor, hung drywall, put on roofing. I like to drive by those houses I built, helped build. 50 years ago. And I stood out there in front sometime. And I'll say they're walking on the floors I laid right now. That house right there. Those people are keeping out of the weather because of the house I helped to build. Well, bless God, the suffering that I've had through these years, and I'm not complaining this morning. The suffering I've had and the heartaches I've had and the battles I've had and the lonely nights I've had and the tears I've shed, bless God, He's bottled them all up and stored them all up and He's going to use them so that every pain, every tear, every heartache, every burden, every sorrow, God's going to use them someday for somebody's good. They're not wasted. Second thought. God can take other suffering and make it useful. Hear me carefully. Someone suffers who doesn't love God. It'll never be for anybody's good. Except if somebody loves them who loves God. And their hurt and heartache and pain caused by the suffering of their loved one That is used for good someday. I'd love to someday pastor a church of unselfish people. I have had hundreds and hundreds of notes and letters about the Wednesday night Bible studies on marriage. Hundreds and hundreds. I mean, literally, several hundred notes and letters. And here's what they all say, just about. Thank you, Brother Hiles. You've made my husband a new man. You've made my wife a new woman. Or you helped me get rid of my wife and get a good one. Something like that. Just want to see if you're still listening. But I could count on the fingers of that hand how many notes I've gotten that said, thank you, Brother Hiles, you've made me a better wife. You've helped me to see my failure, and I'm a better husband because of it. Because we're only concerned basically about what it does for us. But praise God, when God in heaven looks down and God sees me down there on my face and tears rolling out of my eyes and dropping on the carpet, and God feels the pain of my heart, and God sees my stooped shoulders, and God sees that I wonder if the sun will ever shine again, and all of a sudden I feel like I've been a failure in life, and God looks down and sees it. He looks down and says, that fellow loves me with all of his heart, and that fellow's doing the best he can to do my will and be in my will and do what I want him to do, and I'm going to take that suffering down there, and he may not see it on earth, but someday in heaven he'll see it. And one of these days I'll take that tear, every tear he's shed, every pain he's felt, every heartache he's known, every bereavement, every sadness he's had to bear, I'll take it. I'll use it for some good somewhere. And so the child of God who loves God and does God's will, he never suffers in vain. Never, 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 never. Many little boys have been reared in poverty. Where I grew up in southwest Dallas in the ghettos, I was not the only poor kid. Many a little boy, a little Texas boy, grew up in our neighborhood that didn't have any shoes to wear like I did. Many of us went to school barefoot. I mean, went to school without shoes every day. That's what I'm talking about. And if we did have a pair of shoes that didn't fit, and mother put some cardboard inside of them, keep my feet from touching the ground. I wasn't the only kid. But I loved God. And I wanted to do His will. Sometime, you take a look at all these buses. God's doing a heap of good to a lot of little bus kids today, because the little boy suffered when he was a kid 60 years ago. Sometime you stop and think, I love to do it. I love to stop and think about 8 o'clock or 8:30, 9 o'clock on Sunday morning. How many thousands of buses are running all over the world on mission fields? All over the world that would not be running if God hadn't bottled up my poverty as a kid and saved it for a half a century and then opened it up to bless the lives of literally millions of people. There are many little women in our part of Dallas whose husbands left them. There are many little women who suffered like my mother suffered. But they suffered in vain. But my mother loved God. My mother loved this book. My mother loved the Savior. My mother wanted to do His will. My mother taught her son that book. Her husband out drunk, and sometimes never came in, and sometimes for days didn't come in, and finally left to stay. But she stayed. She loved God, and she loved the book, and she tried to do God's will. And yet many of those little who suffered as much as my mother did suffered in vain. I'm talking to folks this morning that hurt as much as others hurt, but you're hurting in vain. You know why? Because you don't love God with all your heart, and because you're not giving your whole life to do the will of God for your life. Now you listen carefully. God has a purpose for everybody in this room. The only right you have to breathe and live and eat God's food, enjoy God's sunshine down if you ever visit down south, breathe God's air or soot, if you know where you live. Only right you have to do it is to be what He made you to be and do what He made you to do. Now then, when the suffering comes, it may be as one little lady in this room this morning who was a pastor's wife with all the dreams of a life of a Beverly Hills, with all the dreams of her husband growing a church and her being the first lady of the church. And suddenly her husband was taken with a fatal illness. And within a few years, his life was taken. She suffered beside his bed, and today she suffers alone in life. But he won't be in vain. She teaches a little class at Hammond Baptist Schools. Her suffering wasn't in vain. But that isn't all. A suffering that she's endured will be bottled up, and God will put it in His heavenly apothecary, and God will just one of these days, the Holy Spirit will write a prescription and send it to the apothecary, and God, the heavenly druggist, will give to the great physician that prescription, and He'll just pour out a little bit of that, and somebody, I'll guarantee you, that little gal that suffered all those years and suffered the loss of her husband who was a pastor, I'll promise you that there'll be people being blessed as long as this world lives. Money Watts is not the only boy that spent time in Iron Lung. There are literally thousands of boys that spent time in Iron Lung in vain. Wasted suffering. Wasted. But Money Watts learned to love God. I wish I could make you believe what I preach. I wish I'd make you sit up like you're waiting to get a good hot steak somewhere when you're hungry and say, well, give it to me. I'm giving you something that's going to change your life. I mean, you love God with all your heart. You get in the will of God and do God's will for your life. Hallelujah! Not one single pain will ever be in vain. Not one single lonely night will ever be in vain. Not one single heartache will ever be in vain. Not one single burden will ever be in vain. Not one single bereavement will ever be in vain. But God will take it. And that's what Romans 8:28 means. It does not mean that all things work together for good. It does not mean that all things work together for good for all Christians. It does not mean that all things work together for good to the one who does the good. It does not mean that all things work together for good now. It means after a person who does not love God, if a person does not love God, his suffering is in vain. A person does love God, God takes it and uses it somewhere for good. In other words, it means God assures us that not one ache or pain or sorrow or heartache will ever be wasted. Suffering's bad enough. But suffering in vain is ridiculous. And by the way, yours is coming. Yours is on the way. Years ago, Dr. Curtis Hudson was supposed to speak in pastor school. His wife said to him, Curtis, why don't you have a physical? He said, I don't need a physical. She said, look, you ought to have a physical. Hey, I feel good. He goes and has a physical. Finds out he has prostate cancer. He calls me on the phone and said, don't think I can preach in pastor school right now. Don't think I can. Now listen carefully to me. Don't think I can. He said, ask me again. I'll get stronger later. I watched his... In fact, when I heard he was on the deathbed, I got on the plane and flew down to Nashville. Went to his bedside. Made him some promises of things I'd do in case of his death. We thought he was dying then. That man gets up off that dying bed, preaches in pastor school the next year, comes to Howells Anderson College and preaches in Howells Anderson College, one of the highlight days of our college's history. Goes around the country the last year or two of his life, preaching while he was dying. And not one lonely day, not one insecure doubt, not one excruciating pain, not one fearful tear was ever in vain. Why? He kept on doing the will of God. Somebody said to me yesterday, they said, boy, every time I see Ms. Evans come out there in the morning teacher class, I said, my heart is blessed. Challenged and thrilled. Some of you folks, you have 99.8 temperature and you can't show up. She's got cancer with maybe a year less to live and she shows up. I want to tell you, listen to me. As long as there is a world, Ms. Evans' books will be out there. As long as there is a world, the students she's affected will be out there across the world serving God. See, what's the difference? She loves God. She's in His will. You say, what good? What good? You may not know, and you may never know. But one thing that sustains me in a trial, I may not see the good that it does or know the person to whom it'll do good, but I love Him and He knows I love Him. And I've been in His will for all these years, not only in His will, but I've tried to do His will for all these years. And that means not, by the way, these eyes have shed a heap of tears. These cheeks have been like rivers of waters many, many a night. These shoulders have carried loads that I felt like they couldn't carry. This heart has hurt so much I thought I couldn't stand it. But I've been comforted by the fact every tear I've shed and every load I've carried and every pain I've felt, God's putting it somewhere and storing it up. And at the right time, for the right person, God's going to use my suffering. Thank God it's not wasted. I'm talking to folks this morning. You're suffering in vain. Wasted suffering. Wasted tears. Wasted pain. Why don't you fall in love with Jesus? Better still, why don't you jump in love with Jesus? And why don't you decide you're going to serve Him with every ounce of the strength that you've got? I don't know when Ms. Evans is going to go to heaven. I talk about it a lot. First place, I'm not sure that's where she's going. I don't know when she's going to go. I'll tell you one thing. When she gets there, she's going to spend a lot of her time looking down on earth, seeing God grab the bottles of good that she's done and sprinkle them on people and the suffering that she's endured. I don't know about you. I don't like to suffer. I've often said, I told Lester Roloff one time, I said, if a bullet came through this room, you'd jump out in front of it. You'd like to be a martyr. Not me. I'd hide behind a bulletproof pulpit here. I'd rather be in Guinness Book of Records than a Fox's Book of Martyrs. I don't like to suffer. I don't like to hurt. But praise God when I do, I'm as sure as I am that that microphone is falling down. It'll do somebody, somewhere, sometime, some good. That's what Romans 8:28 means. It means you'll never suffer in vain if you love God or doing His will. You got to suffer. Everybody has to suffer. You may as well help somebody with it. You may as well. Would you bow your heads, please?